Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're taking a break from our study in Genesis as Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier teaches on the spiritual stepping stones for our walk with Christ. Here's Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Well, have your Bibles open to 2 Peter chapter number 1. This is going to conclude our series here on kind of the believer's growth or the stepping stones of our walk there in 2 Peter chapter number 1. Just as a brief way of review, in verse number 5, it says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness." And that was where we had ended this morning, was on that attribute of godliness. And there's so much more that could be said there, but I want to move on. That way this evening we can finish out with those last two. But just one book back in 1 Peter chapter number 3. Oh, I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 3. Just a page over. 2 Peter 3, verse number 11, just kind of ending and encapsulating on that issue of godliness. It talks about the Lord coming and the heavens, the earth passing away and being made new. And so we see in verse number 11, it says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." And he mentions at the end of the epistle there about growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. "To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." And so we just kind of get that reminder about that godliness, remembering that everything else here is going to pass away. So keep your focus on things that are going to last, things that will last forever. And that subject of godliness is something that will last forever, because if you don't have reverence or respect for the Lord now, if you're a child of God, I promise you, you're going to. And even those who aren't, the Bible says one day every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. One day everyone is going to have a sense of that godliness, that mentality of just how holy the Savior really is. And so all the more reason for us to try to strive to have that kind of mentality now, so that in this life we might show forth just the reverence and the respect that we have for the Savior. And so that's that issue of godliness. And so just in a nutshell, we have that faith there in verse number 5 of 2 Peter 1. We have that faith, that basis of our relationship, the cornerstone, the virtue, which is that moral goodness, that excellence, modesty, and purity. The knowledge, which is that general knowledge, that deeper, more perfect understanding, literally an enlarged knowledge of the scriptures, of the things of Christ, these issues of doctrines. And then temperance, that issue of self-control, literally moderation, restraint. It carries with it a sense of meekness, just like virtue we talked about is tied to praise. It carries with it a sense of the praise as well. Then we looked at patience, steadfastness, constancy, it's an endurance and a perseverance, all while waiting, a special kind of waiting. That's what patience is, that we're steadfast, bearing pains or trials calmly or without complaint, manifesting that forbearance in our life through all things. And then that godliness, which is that reverence, respect, and piety towards God. And that brings us to this issue of brotherly love, of brotherly love. And this is towards your fellow believers. This brotherly love is only towards the brethren, towards fellow believers. And let's just turn over to the book of Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter 12, so that we can see about this brotherly love. Because we mentioned this morning, when we get into the godliness, it becomes very easy to start looking upon other people and trying to judge how much respect or reverence they have for the Lord. when our duty is to keep a charge of ourself. And so it's important not to forget this issue of brotherly love. And so in Romans chapter number 12, let's look starting there in verse number 9. The Bible says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Let it be genuine. Let it be real. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love." It's that same word that we find there in 2 Peter, that brotherly love. "In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality." And he goes on to mention about we should all be of like mind. There in verse number 16, "Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." This issue of brotherly love, literally of a bond and an attitude of grace towards our fellow believers, towards the brethren. And that's why it's so sad. It's so sad to see churches split over things, because they ought to have that spirit of unity. And most of the time, when a church splits, the majority of the time, it's not over a teaching. It's not over a doctrine. They'll usually split over something that we could categorize as a personal preference. There's that old song, "Where are we going to put the piano and who are we going to get to play?" And the church fighting over, you know, well, do we get a piano? Do we not? Who's going to play it? Well, I think Miss So-and-so should play it. I think Miss So-and-so. And there becomes strife and division among the church. Not even on doctrinal issues, but just on the other everyday kind of operations of life. And that's why the Bible talks about this brotherly love. We're exhorted to continue so much in it, because how can two walk together except they be agreed? We're told to be in unity one with another, and it's tough to be in unity with someone if you don't love them, if you don't care for them. And so that's where we find that we are to be, we're commanded to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, literally without impartiality. We ought to look out for one another. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. If you hit 1 and 2 Timothy, you've gone just a bit too far. Go back a bit. So you got 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And, okay, I'd love to dwell on this, but I really, really want to get to charity. So we'll go straight to the text verse. Basically, I was going to read starting in verse number 1 of 1 Thessalonians 4, but it's to kind of summarize it. He's beseeching them of the way that we've received Christ, the way we ought to walk, the way we ought to conduct ourselves. And we could all use a reminder of this daily. And so it's good to keep that before our minds. But for sake of time, we're going to go straight to verse number 9, 1 Thessalonians 4:9. So neat. He's just given these instructions of how we ought to behave. And listen to this. "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia." So he's writing to the church here about the way they ought to conduct themselves, the way they ought to behave. And he says, but this subject of brotherly love, this particular teaching, he says, you don't need for me to tell you this, to exhort you this, because you've been taught this already. And not only that, but you already practice it. It's well known. And I'd like to imagine that we here as a church have that reputation of being well known for our love for our missionaries and for one another. Because it's not possible except we're all in unity and we operate in this harmony within the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he adds to that. So he says, I don't have to write this to you. You're already putting it into practice. But this is what I love here at the last part of verse 10. "But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more."
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.